Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called The Family Wasn't Human. This is a viewer-submitted story by none other than Jarrett. I hope you enjoy this story. The sun is setting on November 1st, 1967, when Claudia Morrill hears the bell chime and looks up from her book. The front desk of the Paris Hotel is old, and the tobacco-stained veneer adds a certain kind of charm to its wooden surface. She taps the butt of the cigarette into a glass ashtray and extinguishes it when she hears the wheels of suitcases scurrying through the lobby. Some customers dislike the receptionist puffing away in their faces, and she's learned to accommodate the non-smokers. She places her bookmark into the beat-up paperback and stares at the family walking up to her. Her mind tries to explain what she's witnessing, but the bellboy's wide-eyed look tells her that he's just as dumbfounded. Discomfort churns at the nape of Claudia's neck as a man and woman walk up to the counter. They are extremely short, the woman no taller than 5'5", and the man no taller than 5 feet. The top of the desk reaches the man's chest, but only hits right underneath the woman's chin. Perhaps it was for this reason that the man stood in front of his presumed wife. This was far from the only odd thing about them, however. They are both adorned in expensive luxury clothing, both in all black, like they have come from a funeral. The man wears a three-piece tailored suit, jacket, slacks, dress shoes, and tie. Claudia notices that even his cufflinks are black as he places his hands palm down on the counter. There is no other color the man wears. As for his wife, a slim-fitting black dress, fishnet stockings, and earrings. Even with her towering stiletto heels, she is barely able to see over the counter. They both have youthful appearances but off-putting faces. Their eyes are spaced too far apart for their heads. Their faces thinning out to chin level. The eyes on them are large and bulbous and stick out of their heads like a coat rack from a wall. Their noses are non-existent, except for two small slits for nostrils. They possess no bridge of the nose from what Claudia can observe, nor any internal bone structure where the nose should be. The openings in their faces expand and contract with their breathing, which is strangely deep, almost as if they are aroused or smelling something pleasant. Their mouths are void of any lips, or, if they have any lips, are sucked into their mouths. Their skin is incredibly pale, almost albino and paper thin. Claudia can see veins and blood churn underneath the flesh. She suspects they are both wearing wigs, because the hair has an artificial, almost plastic sheen to it. The man smiles and his teeth appear normal. This helps him appear less alien and more human to her. But the woman's intense glare still makes her uneasy. They give her the impression of deformity, not just physical, but a deeper, more pronounced abnormality that seems foreign, not of earthly origin. It's at this point that Claudia notices the daughter lurking in the background. She wears an outfit identical to her mother's. The dress, the jewelry, even her hair is the same. If the mother didn't have some faint age wrinkles in her face, Claudia would assume identical twins or even a doppelganger. The daughter walks over to one of the lobby's chairs, her high heels attacking the wooden floorboards, and lowers herself into it. She crosses her legs, slips off a shoe, and begins rubbing her foot. Claudia stares at it. Her foot has two long toes, like someone making the Spock sign with their fingers. There is a long, V-shaped gap in the middle of the girl's foot. What is going on here? One look at those shoes and Claudia understood the girl's plight. But now? What to make of those two long toes? Ignore it? Ask her about it. Pretend like she hadn't seen it. A high-pitched whistle sound draws Claudia back. It's the man. He speaks in a strange voice. A room. A room to stay. A room. A room to stay. He repeats himself each time. Claudia clears her throat and asks in French, How many beds? The man cranes his neck in confusion. He turns to his wife and speaks in a language Claudia has never heard before. She can speak many languages fluently. French, German, Polish, English, Dutch, Italian, and even some Yiddish. But this language is something else entirely. The fast clicking and up and down pitch variation sounds like ancient tongues. Claudia feels creeped out by this. The wife responds back in the same language. It appears they have had a hard time understanding Claudia. Finally, they turn back to her. This time, the woman speaks. Slow, slower, slow, slower, she says in French. She repeats herself as well. Claudia clears her throat again. How many beds? She says it in a way she would address a toddler. They still look confused, sweat pooling in her back. She turns around, heads to the housekeeping closet, grabs a pillow and holds it up to them. She rests it on her shoulder and cocks her head onto it, simulating sleep. They both smile. Yes, one. Yes, one, the wife says, holding up a spindly finger. A diamond ring snags around the base of her knuckles. Claudia writes this down on her room ledger. She pushes a sign-in sheet to the couple. Name here and how many days you'll be staying with us here, she indicates, two lines side by side on the paper. They look confused. Claudia holds up her fingers, mouthing one or two with each successive raising. Despite the language difficulty, numbers seem to be easier for them to grasp. The man nods and holds up one finger. Claudia jots this down and hands the man a pen to sign. He takes it from her, but immediately drops it on the counter. His fingers work to hold it, but it seems unfamiliar to him, as if he's never written anything before. His wife walks up to him, her heels as loud as her daughter's, and holds his finger steady as his hand does a quick, inky scrawl across the paper. That's 20 for the night, she says. The couple both look at her strangely, as if they don't comprehend what she's saying. For upwards of 5 minutes, Claudia goes around in circles with them, trying to explain. The venture appears fruitless when the man suddenly pulls a wad of cash from out of his jacket. Claudia's chest muscles loosen at the sight of this. Finally, they will leave her alone. That is until the man hands over a bill. It is unlike any kind of currency Claudia has ever seen before. It's not a franc, not a euro, and not a dollar. She takes it in her hand and examines it. It's a deep navy blue and shines in the light. A strange symbol is printed in the center and it seems to move around the more she stares at it, like some kind of optical illusion. Forgive me, she begins, blinking in rapid succession before dredging up her next words. Where is this from? Chillingly, the man and woman, and even the daughter behind them, all look at Claudia, smile at her in that off-putting manner, and point skywards. At this point, Claudia is too frightened to care. She nods and slips the bill in the register. Perfect, she says, letting out a strained laugh. Here you are. She hands him a room key. Edmund will show you up. With that, the family collects their daughter, their short, thin frames sauntering over to the bellboy and stand next to him, waiting for the elevator. Their luggage is situated on a cart, and as the doors to the elevator part, Edmund allows the family to step into the car before sliding in after them. Claudia watches the group disappear. The family has affected her in some strange way that she can't fully comprehend. Her surroundings feel different, somehow altered. The desk feels less sturdy underneath her fingers, the words in her book less sharp, the flavor of her cigarettes bitter and unpalatable. As the door shut, she can't help but feel something amiss. The elevator is musty and cramped with the luggage cart, but Edmund pushes the 3 button and doors shut. The car jolts as the cables begin their upward crawl. All 3 members of the family cry out and scream. Edmund jumps in surprise. Their large eyes are wide in fear. The man walks up to Edmund. Who are you? Who are you? Edmund backs away, slamming his back into the wall. The car continues its ascending grind. The distress in the man's eyes is palpable. I'm taking you to your room, he curses his stutter, but is cornered by these weird people. Maybe they're not people at all. What happens next to the bellboy Edmund is unknown. There are numerous theories, some more disturbing than others, but all agree on one thing. He was never seen again. A woman in the 3rd-floor hallway saw the family of 3 exit the elevator car with their cart of luggage, but when she stepped inside the elevator, there was no bellboy. She found it odd, so much so that as she gets down to the lobby, she leans over the front desk and points to it. Was there a bellboy in the car with a strange-looking family? Claudia stiffens. Yes. Yes, why? What's wrong? He never got off the elevator, the woman says. Concerned, Claudia steps out from behind the front desk and examines the elevator. It's spotless, not a sign that anyone had been there. It was as if he'd vanished into thin air. "He isn't up there?" Claudia asks the woman. She frowns and shakes her head. "No, that's why I told you. I thought maybe he was down here ignoring your clientele." "No, that's not like Edmund. He lives off the tips." They both frown, Claudia more so. "I'm going to phone the police," Claudia says, picking up the receiver and dialing. They find nothing. The room is deserted. Claudia's left scratching her head. She walks outside into the early evening sky. As she peers up into purple cloud cover, she sees something odd. A bright light zips through the night, the speed so rapid that she has trouble tracking it. She has no doubt that it's a UFO, and who is inside it. A chill sprints down her arms as she walks back into the hotel. Maybe she's imagined everything. After all, the police searched the room from top to bottom and found nothing. Then a thought strikes her. She hurries over to the cash register. She opens up the till and spots the dark blue bill glittering up at her. Picking it up, she flips it around in her fingers, before inconspicuously slipping it into her purse. She's glad she wasn't the one abducted. I hope you enjoyed this little story. I appreciate you, Jarrett, for sending this in. And like I've said many times before, without authors such as him, I appreciate sending it in, and thank you for letting me read it on my channel. If you enjoyed it, let me know. Let me know your thoughts below if you can, if you're on YouTube. I know that there is that comment section lingering. If you're anywhere else, I don't know what your options are, but I just hope you enjoyed your stay. And a huge shout out to my patrons for help make videos such as these possible with your generosity. If you'd like to become a patron, well, you can do so. Links will be found in the description. And if you'd like to send me your story, go to storiesaftermidnight.com. There's also a Discord if you'd like to come hang out with us. So with all that said, I won't keep you any longer. I hope you enjoyed your stay here. I hope you enjoyed this story. And I hope to see you in the next one. But take care now. Bye-bye then.